Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
EOTM Radio. Entrepreneurs on the move. Reshape the life for a better tomorrow.
Yo, 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 what's going on, everybody? This is your boy, T'Angelo, and you are tuning in to Love, Dance, and the Hate Between Them. What's going on, everybody? How you doing? How you been? This is your boy, T'Angelo, and you are definitely tuned in to Love, Dance, and Hate Between Them, where we love to talk about pop culture, all the things happening, health, human resources, school, you know, pretty much everything that's about to live a happy and fulfilling life. And that's what I personally striving to do myself. And I am certainly excited for this evening. We have a great show in store for you. So you definitely want to sit back, chill out, relax, get you a cup of joe, a hot chocolate if it's cold in your area. Because currently here in SoCal, it's a little nippy. We had a cool day. It wasn't too rainy, but we did have a little cool weather today. So definitely that's what it's going to be about. Today on our agenda, we have a few things, you know, in store for you guys. I'm kind of excited. For the evening, we're going to do a little bit about the Grammys, you know, that did take place this past weekend, and we want to see what happened with that. We also have a celebrity hub where we'll talk about what albums are currently due to come out here this year. We want to also discuss Lady Gaga. She has definitely stirred up, you know, a little bit within her field of work, and we got Hutchinson to discuss her new song we had talked about from last week. And we're also going to discuss the riskiest places to use your credit card. You know, inside this new digital era, we do so much with our credit cards and whatnot, but, you know, there's certain places that we might not be aware. Actually, we're excited to go through that segment because I know I'll slide into the card and input the credit card number pretty much anywhere if it says I can, if I want to order something. And then also we're going to have an extra special guest. I'm super excited because my best friend, Stephanie Marie Burton, tonight. She's she just graduated law school, currently studying for the bar exam. And she has an awesome story to hear. And I'll just put a little bit out there real quick, which is she is a single of four children. And she has recently graduated from law school. And she's just merely 29 years of age. That is an excellent feat to have achieved at such a young age. So we definitely want to wrap it up for her, tell her story, and just show to her, to other people out there, that it's definitely possible for you to push through adversity with determination, tenacity, and with God, and it can definitely happen, okay? So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and take a minute and hear a little joint, and we're going to play that Jennifer Hudson track I told you guys about. It's her new single out entitled Where You At, and I hope you like it. And stay tuned, you guys. When we get back, we'll hear about the Grammy Awards, all right?
You said when the storm came that you would be there with your umbrellas, blossom rain. Loneliness and misery. You say you've been down the world.
19th, so this weekend. You want to support that one. You know, got to support our actors and their films. And so Big Mama's House 3. And it's funny because the other day I was actually like in the lobby of an office or whatever, and they had Big Mama House 2 was playing, right? And I thought it was so hilarious because I did not remember the film. I was like, dang, I haven't really seen it since it has come out. And so I immediately went out and found it and rented it and had to watch it all over again. So I'm so fresh on Big Mama House 2. I clearly remember Big Mama House 1 because I watched it all the time. And so I'm really excited for Big Mama House 3. So we'll see how it goes. I'm excited to see what they do with it. So big ups to Martin and the cast. So I can't wait to get into that. Anywho, moving right along. let's see. What have we missed? What have we gone through this week? Well, we're looking at some tea projects. You know, what's going on? Well, the other day, Carla B. of EOTM and myself hung out at the NCP Image Awards luncheon. They had a luncheon for their nominees, and it was a complete blast, you guys. The video will be out next week, so you have to keep an eye out. It was mad fun. We interviewed, hung out with the likes of Tia and Tamara. We had time with Marvin Sapp, who else was there? Holly Robinson Pete was there. It was so many people. Got to hang out with him again. Vanessa Bell Calloway, we saw her walking through. I mean, it was just a major slew of people. So definitely keep an eye out for the video because it's going to be a really good one. Let's see. Oh, my goodness. A major stressor that's kind of come down is I just finished my first week of school. Yeah! And I was so excited, actually. It wasn't as bad as I thought it might have been, you know, going from just living a regular life, doing media and radio, and to being disciplined like a student can be a major transition. So I'm just happy to have you guys along for the journey, for the ride. And I'm just happy you guys are with me. So we'll talk more about that as I do it. But I'm currently taking a math course and an English course, and my English professor seems quite disciplined. So I'm going to have to be on my P's and Q's with this one. And then, books. So a booster class costs over $200 for two classes, and I was completely distraught. But I'm like that every semester when I have to buy books. I just can't believe the price of them. But nonetheless, after going online and ordering my research and everything, I managed to get the cost of my books down to, like, right under $100. So I was really excited to have done that. So I would say to any students out there who, you know, are definitely, you know, having to get their budget on, I would say you were more than welcome to start going online and doing that. If you happen to need some sites or whatever, just hit me up at Tiangelo at EOTM Music, and I can give you some insight to what I personally have learned through the course of my my time searching for books and cheaper rates. What else am I up to? EOTM is currently looking for interns. So, if you are looking to get into the world of media, this would be a great opportunity for you. I can't go into the description right now because I just can't think of it offhand. But if you're interested in doing media, anything with public relations or with broadcasting, even videography, as a videographer who's looking for an intern, you definitely want to hit us up. You can just shoot me some information, and I'll definitely pass on to the right person at tiangelo@eotmradio.com, and I'll get that to them. But just something to look into. So, and if you happen not to be in California, I would still recommend you sending your information in because we do have different correspondents across the country. And so you might be in Atlanta or something, and we have people out there, so that might be a perfect fit. So, again, if you're interested in communications, broadcasting, public relations, all that jazz, hit us up. Also, I am going to be putting together a dance troupe. I mentioned this last week, a dance team, and also some corporate I would like to have under my belt as different projects and things start to arise. And if you happen to, you know, be a dancer and you're in the Southern California area, definitely hit me up. Or if you're a choreographer and you do well and you don't have to be a dancer as well, send a message to Tiangelo and we'll, you know, check it out and go from there. What else do we have going on in T's world? I think that's pretty much everything. Yeah, doing pretty good. In addition, I will add, I'm also looking for different music groups in industry people. If you happen to be a music group or just a solo artist, and or even if you're a business developer who's currently developing a business, going on a business venture, I would definitely welcome the opportunity to chat with you, you know, hear your story, perhaps be a guest on the show. If you are growing in the music world, I would love for you to invite me out to a show. We can hang out, maybe have EDM and the fam come out to the event support. I'll mention One Too Much is an R&B hip-hop group that was on the show last year, and we had a great time. We went out to the album release party, did some film and stuff, so definitely keep an eye out. Their video will be coming out here soon. And we wrapped up at the album release party. It was pretty happening. I was, what they say, was turned up. So I had a blast there. And I just also lastly mentioned that Love, Dance, and Hate Between Them is now available for sponsors and advertisers. So if you have a growing company and need cost-efficient promotion, you should contact us here at EOTMradio.com, and we'd be more than happy to get with you. So stick around, you guys, and we'll be right back shortly. And when we come back, we'll be looking at the Celebrity Hub.
Are you an entrepreneur on the move? EOTM Media Group has become the new voice for you. EOTM has the most outstanding public relations firm that will suit your needs as well as your budget. Thanks to EOTM Radio and staff, EOTM has climbed the ranks, reaching over 1 million listeners worldwide. Not only is EOTM Media Group mutually respected for its amazing quality, but also for their branding and marketing expertise. Everyone in the industry needs PR and marketing, so with that said, if you or someone you know needs PR or marketing solutions, contact Carla Barnes, Head of Marketing and Branding, at 213-290-3573, or visit her website at www.eotmmediagroup.com, or join her blog at www.eotmblog.com. What's that? You're interested in hearing a few live shows? Visit our radio page at www.eotmradio.com. Thanks for your time. This commercial is brought to you by EOTM Radio and Classic City Records.
Yeah, what it do, what's up? All right, you guys. So, in the Celebrity Hub, oh, real quick, speaking of Celebrity Hub, so, what you guys think of the Jennifer Hudson track, Where You At? I think it's What's Up. I've been a fan. I've been bumping it. If you guys want to check out the song again, it's on my YouTube page. You can go check it out there, T'Angelo. Also, the live performance she did at on Oprah was really good as well, so it's great to see her back out there, you know, with the new body, the new image, whatever the fuck she's doing. So that's definitely the hotness. So, yeah, I just wanted to put it out there for Jennifer. Welcome back. We'd love to have you. So, upcoming albums. There is a good amount of artists planning some big things for this year. We'll definitely keep an eye out as everyone starts to do their thing. I know February 15th, Genuine, for all your Genuine lovers, he had an album that came out entitled I cannot pronounce this correct. I don't want to mess it up, you guys, but I know Genuine does have a new album out. I don't want to mess up the title of it, so I just want to leave it alone. But you definitely want to check out what he has going on, and if you happen to be a Genuine fan. Also, you know, Dre had an album come out. His album is definitely here. We also have... I don't know why I keep stuttering, you guys. I'm having an evening. Real quick, I'll share with you guys, just so you understand, if I happen to be a little off this evening, my mother actually just got out of surgery this evening. And so right before I got on air with you guys, I actually had just ran in from the hospital seeing her. And she seems to be doing well. They said everything went as she had planned. When they asked what kind of pain she was in, 1 out of 10, she said 90. So she was in discomfort. But if you guys would definitely keep her in your prayers, everything seems to be going perfectly fine. But that is kind of my mental. I can feel it. I'm trying to push it through as if it's not, but I can feel that that's where my head kind of is. But she's doing good, and she was kind of like, you're leaving? I was like, Mom, I got to get to the studio, you know. And she understood, but she's fine. I mean, I checked on her, though, you guys. I checked on her. I didn't just run up out of there. We had been there all day, actually, since way, like, 6 o'clock this morning. So anyhow, I wanted to share that with you. Okay, let's get back to our albums. For those who are into Avril Lavigne, her album now is coming out March 8th, so definitely keep an eye out on that. Lupe Fiasco has one coming out on March 8th. His is Lasers. We also have, on March 22nd, Chris Brown's album Fame will be coming out. So I know we're up in the awaited album. People are really looking forward to get into that. Green Day also, Gucci Mane, Jennifer Hudson, all of them have albums coming out on March 22nd. The Green Day one is awesome as fuck. Oop, my bad, I didn't name the title, though. Gucci Mane is The Return of Mr. Zone 6. That's an interesting title. And Jennifer Hudson is I Remember Me. So all those are coming out on March 22nd. So definitely something to keep an eye out for. And another one I really wanted to mention, Snoop is coming out with this is, listen to this title, okay? Snoop always finds a way to reinvent his name, and I love it. It's the Dogumentary. It's a Dogumentary. Okay, that's the name of Snoop Dogg's next album, and I think the title is hilarious. He always finds a way to reinvent his name, and it's currently scheduled to come out on March 29th, so I can look at the Dogumentary. Britney Spears, Femme Fatale, is due to come out on the 29th as well. And her current single, what's the single? Don't Hate Me or Blame. I forgot the title of it is right now, but that is definitely a hot track. She is getting it recently. And she actually broke a record. We'll talk more about that when I get to the Gaga section, but she's recently outdid herself, and then Gaga went ahead and topped her. But anyway, like I said, we'll get to that a little later. So big up to your girl, Brittany. And then I also wanted to mention a couple more who I thought were people to look out for this year. Bootsy Collins. Bootsy Collins got an album coming out, you guys. I thought that was hilarious. But Music Soul Child, Music Soul Child. It's coming out May 3rd for all of our Music Soul Child fans. Definitely keep an eye out. And then Lady Gaga's album, Born This Way, which is already getting, like, rave reviews, is not due to come out until May. The album itself is not due to come out until May 23rd. And so she's doing all kinds of things with her first single. And we're going to get to the Gaga section in a second, but, you know, big ups to her. And then anticipated feature releases. They got on here that Busta Rhymes is due to drop an album this year. Busta Bust, I could really use a dope album. I'm a major Busta fan in the day. Oh, my goodness, all his videos, all the hotness, Janet did, gonna make your body wet. I was a major fan. Beyonce, she's due to have an album come out this year. She's been off the block for a minute, so she's looking to come back. I'm a Blink 182 fan, and so I'll let y'all know that Blink is due to have an album out this year as well. Chingy, Kelly Clarkson, Cole, I think it's a Cassie. I mean, there's a lot of people who are currently scheduled to do one. I know a person I'm really interested to see drop an album, though, is Eve. I mean, she has the song. And now, mind you, they say that she's due to have an album come out called Block of March 2011. That's what they're talking about. They're saying Eve will be dropping an album in. So with this being like mid-February, I'm hoping we see a single come out soon because Lip Lock is, again, what they're working title. And I would love to see Eve come out and drop something because she's been off the scene for a minute. Estelle got something to come out this week. I mean, this year, Guapale, Nelly Furtado. I mean, it's a whole Jadakiss. I could go on and on. But just want to kind of peek you guys out on who to expect this year because as we, you know, as the year kind of just unfolding, you kind of may be wondering where is music going. And Black Eyed Peas is killing it. Gaga's currently out killing it. I think the Jennifer Hudson track is going to kill it. Young Money, Dirty Money. Everybody's, you know, a lot of people are doing good right now. So I just want to, you know, kind of see what else is there to look forward to. So I just kind of keep y'all on game with that one, okay? Moving right along, though, I want to discuss a little bit about Lady Gaga. As you guys may be aware, she stirred up quite the attention at the Grammys this year, the 2011 Grammys, when she entered the, or when she, yeah, when she entered the red carpet into the event in an egg. And if you had a chance, if you didn't get a chance to follow the story, apparently she was in the egg for, like, supposedly 3 days, just chilling in the egg, which kind of helped her rebirth herself. And when she came out on stage was the first time she actually came out of it, which was like a rebirth of Lady Gaga. So I thought that was quite entertaining and pretty funny. So, you know, Gaga always manages to outdo herself. And when, that's what it's always about. It's just about the next big, the next pop thing. You know, how can she top herself? How can she top herself next? But I'm sorry, give me 1 second here. Whoa. I'm enjoying my background, but I'm having an issue here with this technology. I'm sorry, guys, give me 1 second. Okay. Okay. So, as I was saying, Born This Way, this name, that's Lady Gaga's recent single, is Born This Way, and it enters the Hot 100 at number one. It's the 1,000th first single since Bill introduced the Hot 100 in August of 1958. You believe that, you guys? Today, did that become the 1,000th number one single on the Bill 1958? I would have thought we had been hit that, but clearly that's not the case. Born This Way sold 448,000 copies, which breaks Britney Spears' record set just last month for the biggest first week digital sales tally for a hit by female solo artist. Spears set the record when Hold It Against Me, that's her new title, Hold It Against Me started with sales of 411,000. So, I mean, they're definitely making a point to set trends and to be the new and the hot, you know, hot music artist out there for today. Let's see. Gaga's tally is the third fast first week total in digital history. Only song that have sold more copies in their first week are Flo Rida's Right Round, which moved 636,000 in its first week in February 2009, and the Black Eyed Peas' Boom Boom Pow, which sold 465 in its first week, which was in April 2009. So impressively, Born This Way racked up these sales in just 3 days of Gaga's release. Gaga performed the song on the Grammys on Sunday, which was the last day of tracking for the week. The song was originally slated to release that day of the Grammys, but it was moved up 2 days. Gaga's Born This Way album is due out May 23rd, as earlier mentioned. Born This Way is Gaga's third single to the Hot 100 list, but it's her first single to debut in the top spot. Her breakthrough hit, Just Dance, featuring Kobe O'Donis, took 22 weeks to reach the number one spot. Her follow-up single, Poker Face, took 15 weeks. And you may be surprised to know that Bad Romance never quite reached the top spot. It logged in at 7 weeks and only hit number two spot. But that's still pretty awesome, you know. Born This Way also owns an obvious debt to Madonna for her hit in the 1989 Express Yourself and from 1990's Vogue. And if you might recognize those, the Gaga beat for Born This Way, that'll be where you're hearing it from. It's from Madonna. Previous Gaga hits have also echoed Madonna before, like Alejandro. So she's kind of, you know, coming off the Madonna train a little bit, but, I mean, the music is currently hot and she's on her thing. So I would say big up to Gaga, and, I mean, she keeps wowing. She's on the Today Show just the other day, and she had on some outfit made of latex, like condom something. When they asked her what was the motivation, she said that they were recently talking about safe sex and something she's a part of. So she thought that the outfit would be, you know, accurate, fitting for the occasion. So I think she's hilarious. So go ahead, Lady Gaga, let it do what it do. Okay, that's how Gaga's going to do it, let it do what it do. So that it? Oh, well, let's be on to the next one. Okay, so the Grammy Awards, you guys, the Grammys. I mean, so much took place that evening, and, I mean, we had a great time. I want to mention that one of the parts, I hadn't mentioned the Grammys just yet, I'm still working on finishing it up, but I will say on the performance of Justin Bieber and Jaden Smith, and I will say I thought it was awesome. Some people may not be aware that Jaden Smith and Justin Bieber had a song together, but it's quite, you know, not quite old, but it's not exactly brand new. And I thought Jaden's energy was hot. They vibe very well on stage together. And it was fun to see, you know, Will and Jada in the audience, like, you know, all kind of like, yes, my boy, you know, whooping it up for them. So I will say definitely big ups to that performance. I thought it went well. And then the whole fighters on stage and blah, 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 that was cool. Gaga's performance, of course, was over the top, and her choreography was hot. Sometimes the costumes, sometimes they're kind of the best stuff with the whole hat. I know she's trying to put it back on. It was part of the concept, but in some cases, it could be distracting to some. I don't know, to others. I just had made a mental note, so that was that. But let me see here. Song of the Year was Did You Know by Dave Hayward. I didn't really know that song. I mean, did I say Did You Know? I'm sorry, Need You Know. I'm sorry, Need You Now. Oh, my goodness. My apologies. Need You Now. Best New Artist went to Esperanza Spalding. Best Female Pop Vocal Performance, Bad Romance, Lady Gaga. I'm sorry, I said Gaga. You guys, so happy if you get a chance to check out. I mean, if you're into Gaga, if you're not, I can understand, so you'd be nothing. But otherwise, she just is really, I'm just thinking sometimes, who helps her conceptualize what she goes through on stage? Anyhow, Best Performance by Male Pop Vocalist went to Bruno Mars for Just the Way You Are, which is a hot song. Best Pop Performance by a Duo or Group went to Train with Hey Soul Sister. Best Pop Collaboration went to Herbie Hancock, Pink, India, Iree, Seal, and Kono Number One. It was a whole slew of them. They did a track called Imagine, so that one did very well. And who else I want to mention? I want to mention, what was it? Best Pop Vocal Album, again, was Gaga. Best Dance Recording went to Rihanna for The Only Girl, which I thought was kind of interesting. Oh, okay, what about the song? Because the video didn't have anything, but Only Girl in the World for a Dance Track. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Best Electronic Dance went to LaRue, and I think that was a good choice there. Yeah, it was a good choice there. And who's my girl? Best Rock Performance by a Group or Duo went to Black Eyed Peas for Tighten Up. You know, a hard Best Rock Performance went to New Thang. And then I'm looking for, I can't remember. There was one more I was in, but I can't recall what it is offhand. So anyhow, I would definitely say I thought it was a fun show. I started watching it, it was a fun show. I'm really a red carpet person, though. You know, I really get into the red carpet. I love to watch the carpet and see what people strut across the stage in and who's going to wear what and see what they go for. Because when you do the Grammys, it's kind of a mixture now of people doing, you know, dressy clothing. And some people decide to go a different route. And they decide to do, a more avant-garde, a little more high fashion, and go left. So the Grammys have come both ways with it. But you know, it's all about what you want to do. So also for some of these stories in great detail, you can also go to www.eotmblog.com, and you can find a story on Lady Gaga and some of the Grammy stuff there. For more details, definitely, eotmblog.com. They keep it popping, all the details there. Also, keep an eye out, because soon I'm currently working on a tangelo.com, so we'll definitely have it all linked up so you guys can find everything there. And anything else I would say further regarding entertainment, you just keep your eyes out, because it's going to be a fun, exciting year. You heard? So, what's called? And then you guys must stick around because, again, Stephanie Marie Young, current law school graduate, a.k.a. my best friend, a.k.a. mother of four, a.k.a. one of the funniest people I know. And some people tend to find me humorous and kind of, you know, funny. But let me tell you, Stephanie is where I feel I got my funny because when I met her, I'm going to tell y'all real quick, okay, before we go, before we go real quick, when me and Stephanie first met, we were in high school. I was a freshman. She was a sophomore. And she is a Leo. And so she was the most arrogant, stuck on herself, can't nobody tell what to do kind of people I had ever met. And so we didn't like each other at first glance. And I could understand why, because I, too, am a Leo. And so our whole, you know, Leo-ness was going at each other. But we're best friends now. So, yeah, she's just hilarious. I can't wait, you guys. It's going to be great fun. So, anyhow, we'll be back right after this, okay?
Yeah.
We'll just keep...
yeah.
Thank you. Far too kind. Get
ready.
Can I get an encore? Do you want more?
Cook and roll with the Brooklyn boys. So for one last time, I need y'all to roll.
Yeah.
Now what the hell are you waiting for? And for me, there should be no more. So for one last time, nigga, make some noise.
Get him, Jay.
Who you know fresher than whole? Riddle me that. Y'all know where I'm lurking, yeah. Can't none of y'all mirror me back. Yeah, hear me rap, it's like hand G rapping his prime. I'm young H.O., rap's great to dead. Pass the tip over the globe, now break bread. I'm in Boeing jets, slow express. Out the country, but the blueberry still connect. On the low, but the guy's got a triple check. But when you young, what the fuck you expect? Yep. Grand opening, grand closing. Goddamn your manhole, crack the can open again. Who you gonna find over the head with no pen? Just draw inspiration. Who you gonna see? You can't replace him with cheap imitations from these generations. If I pay my dues, how will they pay you? When you first come in the game, they try to play you. Then you drive a couple of hits, look how they wait for you. From R.C. to Madison Square, to the only thing that matters is just a matter of years. The fate will have it, Jay status appears to be at an all-time high. Perfect time to say goodbye. When I come back like George, we're in the 4-5. It ain't to play games with you, just to aim at you. Probably mean you. If I owe you, I'm blowing you to Tillerine. Cops have to take one for your team. And I need you to remember one thing.
One thing.
I came, I saw, I conquered. A record sale, sold out concert. Motherfucker, if you want this encore, I need you to scream to your lungs. So, come on.
I've been what you want me to be. Feeling so faithless, lost under the sun.
I get, and it's, Denise, we need this. Denise, we need that. Which is stressful, because my name is Linda. Denise is the other black woman that works here. By 10 a.m., someone in the copy room makes a joke about Kobe Bryant, and everyone looks at me to make sure it's okay. And I smile like it's okay. But really, my head and neck are starting to throb. Then I spend the rest of the afternoon training my interns and answering their questions like, yes, black people use shampoo, and no, I don't know any good reggae clubs around here, and yes, Condoleezza Rice is very articulate. Why do you sound so surprised? And no, I can't tell you where to buy weed. And that's when I reach for Excedrin. New Excedrin for racial tension headaches. Excedrin RT works fast, taking me from, oh, no, you didn't, to I wish a mother would. And
Excedrin for racial tension headaches. Fast relief for hundreds of years of negative pain.
That still cracks me up, you guys. It really does. Hilarious. Hello, from Latifah. Anyhow, okay, the riskiest places you can use your credit card. I thought this was a really great find because in 2011, I'm a plastic lover. I don't carry cash, like, at all, ever, unless I'm going to, you know, an event where I have to pay for parking, and they don't accept plastic. But I'm so happy that places now accept plastic for parking meters because here in California, paying for parking is part of the culture. So, anywho, so, I thought it was a great little read, so you can learn where to and not to put your credit card, so you know. Even if you use the utmost caution, you still can be a victim of credit card fraud. Credit card companies and banks are the most and more often putting on the priority of catching phony or incorrect credit card charges on the computer. But the most important thing is to check your billing statement, of course, and do it regularly. There are organizations like creditcards.com that offer tips on how to keep your credit card safe as well. But we're going to take a look at a few of the riskiest places you might use your credit card according to creditcards.com and what you can do to avoid the dangers, okay? So one place that you can try to keep your card from is non-bank-owned ATMs. The encryption at these ATMs is often not as good as a bank's ATM, meaning that some locations are just not as safe. These ATMs are also more likely to be hacked, and in some cases, people have been putting devices that look at ATMs and don't give out cash. Instead, they just read your card, they skim what your card has to say, and then they steal your credit card, your debit card information, because if you swipe your card, it just records what you just swiped, all your information, gives you no cash or whatever, and then you're like, oh, this thing is broken. You move on with your day. But what you don't know is that you just swiped all your credit card information away. So that's one thing that you want to look out for. And I know I once saw a bootleg ATM machine. I took a picture of it. I wish I still had it. I would blog it. But literally someone had taken, like, a little ATM machine thing that's at, like, your grocery store, the little, you know, 6x7 box thingy. They took that and mounted it inside of a stand-up ATM console and called it an ATM machine. I was like, are you serious? And you can see it was mounted in there, like, screwed and bolted in. I was like, yeah, no, we can't use that. also, flea markets. Some of you I know are major flea market shoppers. But flea market merchants are often transient and can be different from location to location. So if there's a problem with charges, you won't be able to find them or locate it. It's especially true for vendors who don't have online credit card terminals and instead make a carbon copy of your credit card. Yeah, I mean, kind of watch out, because it doesn't mean that the vendor are necessarily fraudulent, but it can make your transaction less secure. The credit card company might have trouble doing a chargeback. If you're going to flea markets, just take cash. It's also a lot easier, and you often negotiate that way. If you happen to be downtown L.A., shop it, take cash. if you happen to go to cafes in foreign countries, I recommend you... calm that down a little bit. Many of these transactions end up being written off by the banks if you can't get the money back because they can't locate where you got it from. Non-secure online checkouts, that's something you might want to look out for. Purchases on smartphones. The purchase on smartphones can also be less secure. If your smartphone connects to a public Wi-Fi signal, you're going to be much less secure. Someone else can potentially see the transaction or, like, in the air because it's Wi-Fi, you know, so they can be placed a device, and it can potentially transmit your personal information from the Wi-Fi. If you know a hacker trying to catch information like that, that's a way that they can get a hold of it. Also, to the email offers. I'm sure we're all over this. But unless you are signed up for some solicitation from a particular company, be very wary. Check the URL in your email, and if it looks like a suspect, don't click it. If it looks suspicious, don't click it. You always can contact the company through their official website to confirm the legitimacy of the offer, so kind of look out for that. Strange and foreign domain extensions, watch out for that. And then also, I would mention Wi-Fi hotspots and public computers. Yeah, no, you know, these are just places to be more secure if you're looking at how to do it. And then overall, I would just say you can just go online and really monitor and watch your bank account, what you're paying off. I know my sister, actually, years ago, she had had a credit card fraudulent situation with her account, and someone actually used her credit and bought up some stuff for her. And so she, in turn, ended up getting some kind of security thing on her credit card, where for every transaction that swipes on her credit card, a text message is sent to her phone or email, one to two. But her phone pretty much brings every time that card is plastic is swiped. Or any time, not even just swiped, any time a transaction goes through on her account, if it hits the bank, it hits her phone. And so that, I think, is the best way of all, because then as soon as the bank knows about it, you know about it. So, and then also I'll mention that my brother just last year was so unfortunate. He had a credit card fraud situation that someone had bought up a bunch of stuff on his credit, and he's still trying to fight that now. So you, in 2011, you guys, you have to be watching out for this stuff, hackers, and there's just bad people out there doing bad things, okay? So those are a few places that your credit card could be risky in. Just govern yourself accordingly, all right, you guys? We're going to take a quick break, but when we return, we will be chatting with my girl, my own chick, Stephanie Marie Young. I mean, excuse me, oops, not Stephanie Marie Young, I took it back, but Stephanie Marie Burton, and we'll definitely hear how she made her childhood dream become a reality. We'll be right back.
I came to win, to fight, to conquer. To fight, I came to win. To fight, to prosper, to rise, to fly. To fly. Yo, yo. I wish today of a way new and pay. Maybe that'll kind of make the pain go away. Something gives you for abandoning me.
Thank you. fight, to conquer, to thrive. I came to win, to survive, to prosper, to rise, to love.
Well, 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 you guys, I thought this song was so fitting as I get ready to introduce my guest for this evening. It is truly with my, I'm humbled and honored and blessed for the opportunity to present to you Stephanie Burton, who is a 29-year-old single mother of four children, ranging from ages 11, 10, 6, and a 1-year-old. Since Stephanie was 8 years old, she wanted to be an attorney. Her inspiration was her childhood. As a child, was Claire Huxtable, who was a mother, who was a lawyer on a 1980s sitcom, The Cosby Show, played by Felicia Rashad. Stephanie's journey is a story of a young girl who followed her childhood dream of becoming a lawyer. In spite of life's obstacles and misgivings, as a single mother, she has earned 4 degrees, a Bachelor's of Arts in Political Science, as well as a Bachelor of Arts in Criminal Justice and Criminology, a Master's of Science degree in Criminal Justice, and she recently graduated this past December with her long-awaited, it's so awesome, her long-awaited Juris Doctor's degree from the University of Missouri, Kansas City. Currently, she is studying to take the February Missouri Bar Exam. Her life is one of many blessings that are proven by God's hand, and everything is possible that he has for you. Well, you guys, without further ado, I want to present to you one of my best friends, Stephanie Burton.
Oh, my gosh, that is so awesome. Yo, you read this. I thought
I'd be
somebody important.
Oh, there's the crowd. Oh, they're welcoming you. Walk the red carpet, doll. There you go. Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Come sit down.
That was so odd. You know, with the way you said it, it sounded like somebody was important. You know, I was waiting to see who was about to come on.
Baby, you are important. It's all about you because you are important. And that was completely and without fabrication, without extra dramatics from D'Angelo, that was all you. So how are you doing this evening?
Oh, man, I'm hanging in there. There's 5 days left to this bar exam, so I'm a little here and I'm a little there, but, you know, I'm making it work.
Well, that's awesome. Real quick, you guys, for the listeners, I'll let you guys know, Stephanie is currently still in Kansas City, Missouri, so she's at, a two-hour difference, so you would definitely stay up all night. I thank you.
Yeah, well, you know, I was going to be up anyway with this studying, but you know, anything for my best friend, hey, I will stay up 2 a.m, 3 a.m. if I have to. You know, the kids, they're sneaking around the house because I told them, hey, don't come in here making all that devilish noise. They walking around like slaves. Why is he got to be quiet, Mama? You better hold your peace. So yeah, you know, they wanted to listen in, so I told them they can stay up, but they better hush.
So real quick, I'm going to take you guys to a childhood memory I just thought of recently. I'm sure you remember this. When we used to sit on the phone on the weekends until we killed every battery in the house, the longest we spent on the phone, I think, was maybe 14 hours.
Oh, my God. Yeah, even our mom used to get mad. Like, why didn't you use the phone? It's like, okay, well, hold on. And they would be on the phone, and we would wait and get back home.
I remember that New Year's Eve when we were both on the phone all New Year's, and we were like,
yes.
Oh, my gosh, I haven't taken a shower at all this year.
Right. That's all right. We're into the New Year, Funky. Funky in the Parliament if we have to.
Well, we had some great times. I was just reminiscing back. It was awesome. But anyhow,
don't let me forget. First of all, you did not tell me that Mama Evans was in the hospital. Are you crazy?
I know. Let me tell you, I didn't mention it because it was so sporadic. You know, we just had our 50th, 2 weeks ago. And so no one knew anything about the surgery. And then, the Tuesday after the party, it happened to come out. Someone, oh, my sister called me, oh, by the way, mother wants to know if you're coming for the surgery.
y'all party too hard.
Right. So she didn't want the surgery to overshadow her weekend that she knew we had planned for her. So yeah, she's doing good though. They just cut up on her head a little bit, move some vertebrae around, and you know, normal stuff.
Right, because that's what we do every day, you know.
But no, I will give her your prayers and your love when I see her again. Thank you.
You must do that. Oh, and hey, today is, you know, my baby Steven. It's his 16th birthday today.
Steven is 16?
Steven is 16, isn't that crazy?
You have to tell happy birthday. Go ahead and give him a big happy birthday.
Steven Lamar William, my baby, my nephew, is 16 years old today. And as hot as he can be. So, you know, I'm just really putting these ladies on notice. Stay back.
Well, where's he located?
Okay. Don't worry.
Where's he located now?
He is in Atlanta. He's in Atlanta.
Okay.
And with his grandma, and his grandma don't play. So he's in very good hands. But,
yes.
You know, that's still my baby. That's you know, that was my first baby.
Oh, so let's get into this journey of yours, honey. Okay, so where do you want to start? Do we start from the abandonment, or do we start from when you first got to school?
You know, I think in the interest of time, it might be fitting when we just start from when we got to school, from when I got to school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so. How do you have 4 children and a law degree at 29 years old?
Whew. Well, a lot of diligence and bad family planning. No, I'm just kidding. You know, I am so amazingly blessed. And I mean, I am amazed at times because, you know, my children, I love my kids. They are a wonderful, wonderful blessing. Paul, Christina, Jeremiah, and Jamie, you know, I got to put that out there. And, they, you know, being a single mom is inherently difficult as it is. It's being a parent, period. But I have been so blessed because, you know, it takes a lot of diligence to be a single parent, and it takes a lot of diligence to go to school. And to be blessed to do both is just absolutely amazing. It blows my mind every day.
And I think the funny part is your kids don't even know what it is to see you not a student.
Exactly. You know, they're just, you know, now they're kind of sick of it. So they're like, are you a lawyer yet? Are you a lawyer yet? I feel like I'm on a road trip every day with them. They are, you know, they don't know what it's like for me to be on the other side. You know, I keep, you know, telling them, it's like, hey, we've been at this mountain long enough. It's time for us to cross on over. And I think they're excited for it because, you know, for one, you know, we were told they're excited to move on. And, you know, I'm like I said, I'm blessed because my kids get to see me take this journey, and I'm hoping they won't take it lightly, that they can see that this is, you know, you, whatever life deals you, you can be what you want to be as long as you keep at it. You know, anything that's worth doing is going to come with some obstacles, and Lord knows there's roadblocks everywhere, but, you know, don't let nobody tell you what you can't do.
Now, real quick, so for the listeners, because I have your whole history because I was there, but when you say this journey you've been on, take us back. What journey have you been on? Let's go through that. Cause let's go from when you were in the project to now you're owning your own 4-bedroom house, is it?
It's 3 bedrooms. Got a beautiful finished basement and a sub-basement. It's a nice little place, if I might say so myself.
So let's go from, how do you get from the project to owning property?
You know, when I lived in the projects, I got laid off from work, and I was staying in an apartment, and I was going to school, and I was also pregnant, so it was like, what can I do right now to breathe in the meantime? Because it was absolutely so stressful. I was like, what can I do just so that I can breathe? And public housing, you know, I don't recommend it to anyone, but if you have to be there, don't be complacent and don't stay there because it's easy to get comfortable. They don't charge you any rent. You pay your utilities, and you can survive on much of nothing. But you also have to realize the company that you keep. And what was so interesting was that there were, you know, I think I was the only one in a rush to get out. They did not really want to be there, and I was trying to you know, stir up and motivate some people, and I, the message wasn't getting across as well as I'd liked it to. But it was, you know, I was in the project the last 2 years of college, of undergrad. And so after I graduated, it's like I said, it's really hard because you're trying to get an education, you're trying to be a good mom, and you're trying to get on your feet. And it seems like every time you're trying to move forward, somebody's, you know, got the nightstick to knock your ankles out from under you.
Right.
And like I said, I mean, grace of God. I remember one time living in the project, and I was so tired because it seemed like I only saw my kids in the morning before I left. And, you know, I dropped off at daycare, and then after I got back, you know, because I worked two jobs also. So it was, you know, trying to balance that being a mom because I want my kids to know me, of course. And, you know, and I'm all they have most of the time. You know, my mom is there and she's great, you know, but I'm their mom. So
Right.
It is, you know, it was very hard because sometimes I felt like I wasn't getting support, you know, or people were saying, you know, even sometimes to the extent of thinking I was a bad mother because I was going to school, which was beyond me. You know, you need to do this. You can't afford to do that. And it's like, whatever, because they're not living the journey. They're not experiencing the journey. But it was my goal was to get it. My goal was never to stay there. It was like as soon as I am working, I am, you know, working a real job, I'm out of there. And then
I remember the point where you had – speaking of, you know, just the parts where it kind of knocked you down, I kind of pinpoint the part where your laptop was stolen.
Yeah, that's when I knew it was time to get out, when they stole my baby Delilah.
Wait. Who was Delilah?
Delilah was my laptop. We went everywhere together. But anyway, my dad had sent that to me. You know, I had asked my dad for a laptop. I remember we were young, my dad said he'd get us one when we went to college, and I asked my dad for one, and he sent it. I mean, you know, sent it to me, this nice little fancy briefcase to go with it. I took that thing everywhere. And her name was Delilah because she was Adele, you know. And I took my kids to the circus, the soul circus, and somebody threw a brick through my window in broad daylight while the football game was on. Went in there, took a beer out the refrigerator, and my laptop, and walked out of my house.
Wow.
And that was infuriating. It's like, you know, you work hard, and you work hard, and somebody's always trying to take it from you.
And to take your laptop when you're a student. That's like all your work and all your life is in there.
Thank you. Let somebody come do that now. I wish I would catch you coming to steal my laptop.
So now we're going to move
into a brick.
Not a brick. All right. So we're going to move into, because I know the question is, how do you end up with four children and a single mom? So I know it's a touchy thing. I'm going to get into business a little bit. But walk us through how you end up with four children.
Well, I think you know how they're made. It's an expensive hobby. You learn how to play checkers by yourself. But, I was married, and part of it was, you know, exercising bad judgment. And I'm willing to put it out there in relationships where you're willing to settle for things. I think sometimes single moms get in this thing where, you know, you have kids and you have, a lot of people will view that as a stigma and, you know, think that you're supposed to just take what you can get and take what comes along. And I don't think that they understand that just because you're a single mom doesn't mean you have to settle for anything. You know, you're going to have to sacrifice, but that doesn't mean you have to settle. And I was very naive into thinking, you know, I could help somebody and, you know, put myself out there. And it was to my detriment, and that was a lesson that I just had to learn. For one, you can't save everybody. If somebody is a funky hot mess when you meet them, they're probably going to be a funky hot mess after you're gone.
Right.
And that, you know, like I said, thank God for grace, because there were bad decisions that I made as far as getting into relationships. And I'm the type of person where I'm always so busy with school and work, I don't have a lot of time to put into a relationship. And, you know, I hate to put it this way, but I get pregnant at the drop of a hat. Don't even drop your hat close to me because there's a baby.
I remember. You walked past a sperm bank and you came back with twins.
Right.
it's definitely not that difficult to get done. But it's something that, as a single mom, you have to learn, even if you learn it later, to choose wisely who you sleep with. And not just, I mean, hey, you could have come back with something else that you have to take antibiotics for, but, you know, be careful because, you know, people will look at it like, oh, my gosh, here you come with another baby. Here's another baby. You know, when you're having your fourth baby shower, people are bringing you condoms and telling you to stop playing around. But, you know, people don't realize that when you are a single mom, you want some help. And at first glance, people will promise you anything. You know, I want to help you with your kids and baloney, especially if they already have kids that they're not helping with. And, you know, you want to believe that. You want to believe that somebody, that you're still lovable and that somebody can really care for you. And that is absolutely true, but you don't have to settle for the first thing that knocks on your door. You know,
so
a lot of times.
Okay,
go ahead.
I was going to ask, at one point, how many people living in your, because I knew at one point you had a gentleman who had kids already. How many people have lived in your house all at one time at the highest number?
Woo! Oh, my goodness. You know, my last year of law school, I was engaged, and, you know, you don't want to understand my relief that I didn't take that step. But he has, you know, his oldest three children live with him. And this is what I'm talking about with making choices. For the last year of law school, right before until 2 weeks before I graduated, I had eight children in my house every day and two adults. So there were 10 people living in my house. Because it was, you know, my three that I had, his three that he brought with him, and the child we had in common. And it would have been a lovely story if it wasn't so horrible. because, you know, it wasn't the kids that was, you know, because when you have kids, you switch to a zone defense once you get to a certain number. You don't man up on them anymore. You just play a zone. So after a while, you can handle more children, but law school is a bully in and of itself. It beats you up and puts you in the corner and takes all your money. So what you want is, you know, an environment where you learn. And for my first 2 years of law school, my mom would keep my kids as long as I needed her to. She would cook, and I could stay at the law library to 2 a.m. if I needed to and come back. But when there were, you know, that extra family there, I had to come right home. And thank you know, like I said, I wish I could take all the credit, but it is you do not know how much it's like you can't get done with so many people there.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God that he has blessed me to be able to retain information as I hear it and be
all
able
right.
to play it back. And not, you know, so that if I couldn't get everything, I was able to retain enough to where I could put it back to you on the exam and do well.
Okay, so real quick, I found this. You just mentioned you had eight children in your house. So I have this little sound bite I want to play for you, and once you hear it, you'll tell me if you think that is if it's fitting for what you had to go through, okay?
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, here we go. Let's
Lewis! 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 Mom! 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 Mommy! 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 Mama!
That's
Mama!
It.
Mama! Ma! Ma! Ma!
Oh, okay.
Ma! Mom! 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 Mommy! Mommy! Mama! Mama! Mama!
What?
Hi.
And then he just says hi and runs off.
Oh, boy. Oh, Lord, yeah, that's it. All day. Trying to type an 80-page paper for your RW and hearing that in the background. Yeah. And you know, if you just let go and put that hand back, you're going to be on the 6 o'clock news.
So when the person questions your mother, your motherhood, okay, so I'm thinking we're talking about neglect. I mean, you're neglecting your children, it seems. It seems like you have going on to give them any time. Do they know you? They spend time with you? I mean, how do you explain all that?
You know, I'm a mom first, and that has always been my priority. I do what I do because of my kids. I know exactly what my goal is. I know what I'm working for every single day. I know where my paycheck is going every day. And so people will say, you know, I take it offensively if somebody says, you know, I don't think you're being a good mom. There was a time when I was in law school where, you know, something didn't get turned in on time, and it was because I had to help my son with the book report. And, you know, I'm not going to become successful at the expense of my kids. My success is nothing if I can't provide a education and a foundation for my kids. And, you know, it will never be said that I sacrificed my children. You know, like my road to success was paved with the backs of my kids. It will never be said that that's what it was. And my kids know I'm a mom first. When I come in, people are reading for an hour. And, you know, part of that is so that I can read also. But, you know, I am on top of it with, you know, making sure they have their schoolwork done, because it means nothing. You know, my whole goal is so that when I send my kids to college, I can just write the check and not have to worry about them getting student loans and everything else. You know,
okay, so now,
and right now, you know, I have to put, yeah, I put whatever time I have to put in, but when my mom hat comes on, it is what it is, baby.
Now, I want to say that, I mean, I think that's a wonderful way to put that, and I want to, so the listeners understand, when you and I were talking before, I asked you this question. Because you finished law school, which is, and you know, in America, in American culture, law school is like right up there, you know, doctrines and things of that nature, a very high esteemed degree. Again, congratulations. But, I mean, how smart do you feel now to accomplish all this?
I mean, only smart people
can do this.
You know, that's what people think. And it's not about, you know, you do have to have a certain level of intelligence, but to me, it's not about being smarter than the next guy. It's about being willing to outwork the next guy. It's not a battle that's won or lost on intelligence. It's about who's going to do the work, who's going to go do the research and put the extra time in for the client. So I don't feel any, unfortunately, I don't feel any smarter because, you know, I've only been a doctor for about 2 months now, and I've been Stephanie my whole life. I think it's going to take a little more time. You know, I've been studying for almost 30 years. It's going to take a little more time for me to feel a little doctorish. You know, I'll tell you, when I got my first piece of mail that said Dr. Stephanie Burton, I was like, ha-ha, they think I'm a doctor. The fools.
That's funny.
I mean, like I said, it is wonderful, but, you know, the letters don't mean that much to me as much as it is what I went through this journey for. I came in to help people who are underrepresented and to provide for my kids and to do them both in the process. Who says I can't do both?
Do they realize what's going on?
Do the kids?
Yeah, do they understand your accomplishment?
Yeah, they do. And because, you know, Christina's gotten kind of snooty with it. I'm like, wait a minute, baby. We're not that rich yet. We're not rich at all. You know, she's telling people, hey, my mom's a lawyer. Is your mom a lawyer? And it's like, wait a minute. I got to pay the mortgage. You be nice to these people in case you need a place to stay. For them, it's awesome. You know, it's kind of like, you know, growing up, my dad was a pilot. It's like, you know, not a lot of people's dad does that. And
right.
So, you know, for me, with the kids, they think that it is, you know, when I was a PO, they thought that was the best thing in the world because I had a badge. So, you know, I think with kids, we're proud of our parents all the time. And no matter what they do, they could be the garbage man for all we care. And, hey, I love the garbage man because there is nothing like trash day when I don't have to smell that stuff. Hey, don't knock it. I love it.
Okay, that's awesome. That's hilarious. So one more thing before we go into another segment is I want to talk about the surprise pregnancy, the secret pregnancy, the pregnancy no one knew about. So
yeah,
for the listeners, understanding, me and Stephanie, again, we go back to like freshman year high school, and we are digital friends at this point, so we don't see each other as much. And one random morning, I get a text message that reads, I'm on my way to the hospital, the baby will be here, I'm on my way to the hospital to have the baby. And I'm tripping in my bed, like, what? Okay, I'm going, I'm like 8 o'clock in the morning, too, my time. To the hospital to have, okay, what are you talking about? Because, mind you, in the 9 months' time of her being pregnant, we've spoken at least 15,000 to 25,000 times. And is it no mention or talk of this child? And all of a sudden, the baby's here. I didn't know if it was a boy or a girl, what its name was, who it belonged to, how did it get here, did you go pick it up from the grocery store? Explain why we had a secret baby.
Well, you know, because that, being in law school, and already being a single mom, you hear a lot of comments. You hear a lot of, you know, she got all them kids. And you know, I didn't want to tell anybody, for one, because, you know, like I said, I am all about being transparent. I shared a moment of mutual irresponsibility on New Year's to a baby. And so I didn't, you know, first of all, I didn't know where the relationship was headed. And people, I didn't want anybody asking, are you going to get married? And I'm like, really? I'm not 15, and this is in 1950. I don't have to get married because I had a baby. Let's not pretend this is something other than what it is. And
it was a New Year's Eve kiss that went completely wrong.
Yeah. And that's exactly how it happened. You kiss somebody on New Year's, your clothes fall off. But, you know, I did. You know, I was already at a position where I was struggling, and for one, I didn't want to put that mental burden on anyone where they're wondering, oh my God, how is she going to do this? How is she going to make it? And I didn't want anybody asking me because I didn't have the answer right then. You know, well, what you going to do? Ooh, how you going to feed them kids? What you thinking about? And it's like I'm thinking about. I still have to get through the rest of law school. I had the baby, you know, the first semester of my second year and came back to school the next week after having a C-section. So I was
already.
You did
that with all the babies, didn't you? Or you on break with the other three?
Oh, no, I didn't go on break. I do it like the old days. I'd drop it in the cornfield, put it in the papoose on my back, and keep it moving. Please. No, I've got to feed these kids. You know, they have this habit of eating three times a day. If I can get them to scale it back to like once a day except on Tuesday, that'd be great, but they don't go for that. So, you know, the law school and my law school was absolutely fantastic. My peers, they emailed me notes as I was in the hospital because, you know, I took my laptop with me to the hospital when I had my baby and my books. You know, my teachers were fantastic. You know, I think if I hadn't gone to the best law school in the world for me, of course, it would have been a lot more difficult. But like I said, I didn't tell anybody because I didn't want people pressuring me about what you're going to do. What about this? You know, who's going to take care of the baby? I didn't want to have to deal with all those questions for one because it was nobody's business. I mean, I could have told you because you're my bestie, but.
I was so hurt.
You know, and then also because, you know, my mom keeps my kids, and I definitely didn't want them putting that burden off on her with all that, oh, my gosh, here she comes with another baby. Girl, what you going to do?
How'd you keep the kids quiet?
Oh, my kids know not to talk. My kids are set up for the life of a parent who's going to be a politician. They know not to speak.
Oh!
Also, the gag word on those kids, like, you better not talk to nobody.
That's hilarious. So, to transition for a second, so as we spoke earlier, Steph, we were talking about, I explained to you that in light of Black History Month, we do spotlighting. And so
right.
I asked, we do spotlight on, on an African-American, inspirational person who has, you know, helped our community and our culture in some positive ways. For the listeners, I've done Sidney Poitier. I did the choreographer Alvin Ailey last week. And so when I had Stephanie, I wanted to find an area that I'm not that familiar with to honor someone who should be honored. And so, that's me. Who do we go with?
We went with Barbara Jordan.
Barbara Jordan, exactly. And so really quickly, before we learn about her, I want you guys to hear a little something that introduces us to Barbara Jordan and who she was. So sit back for a second and just listen to this.
All right.
The Washington Post once described her as the first black woman everything, but her political career got off to a rough start. She lost her first two races, twice being defeated for the Texas House by Willis Whatley, a well-financed white lawyer. In fact, Jordan had to borrow the $500 filing fee. But after a court case made the state legislative elections a district affair instead of countywide, she ran for state senate in 1966 and beat her primary opponent 2-1. That made her the first African-American woman ever in the Texas Senate. Upon her death, Barbara Jordan was still one of the most respected women in America. And not surprisingly, she became the first African-American ever buried at the state cemetery in Austin.
She was the first African-American woman elected to Congress from a southern state. The Democrat from Texas was an outstanding orator and constitutional scholar. In 1994, President Bill Clinton awarded Jordan the nation's highest civilian honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. To find out more about Barbara Jordan and other GLBT leaders, log on to GLBTHistoryMonth.com.
So, to all my listeners, I spotlight this week, Barbara Jordan. Stephanie, Why do we choose Barbara Jordan?
I like Barbara Jordan because, you know, I when I was working as a probation and parole officer, my boss, Marty Thomas, she came to me. She said, you know, you remind me so much of Barbara Jordan. And I didn't even know who she was. And then, you know, a local politician here, I was at a Northland Democrats meeting, and he said, you remind me so much of a young Barbara Jordan. And so I wanted to look her up because I was like, well, wait a minute. You know, if people keep saying I remind them of this person, I better check it out and see who this person is. And, oh, my gosh, I almost came to tears because I was so honored. I mean, it's definitely an overstatement. I am no Barbara Jordan by any respect, but I love the way she defies the odds. She was not someone who just let someone tell her no. And she was a lawyer. She went to she graduated from Boston University, which, you know, is the same university that the dean of our law school, Dean Tooney, graduated from. So I know they put out the best people. But I love to see women, especially, you know, the first black woman to do this, the first black woman to do that. You know, I won't be the first black woman in United States Supreme Court, but I might have too much baggage right now. she was someone who was a go-getter. She went for what she wanted, and she didn't let anybody stop that. Because, you know, being African-American in the South at that time and trying to run for anything, you'd be lucky if you could run to the grocery store at that time. And,
right.
You know, she did not let that stop her. And she authored so many influential bills that have helped minorities, women, poor people, all three of which I fall into the category of right now. And it was, you know, it was amazing because I don't take it lightly that somebody else fought for me to be where I am right now. And this is somebody who didn't take no for an answer. And people will always try to tell you what you can't do. And she wasn't, you know, she wasn't hearing that. She was a woman who was about her business. She made it very clear she didn't come to carry no torch or wave no banner. She came to work. And awesome, awesome woman. And she started, she started her law practice from her parents' home after she finished law school. She started her law practice in the kitchen. And I was just thinking, I was like, well, you know what, if I don't find a job soon, maybe I better start me an office in the kitchen. I love it. I mean, I love her story. I love, you know, because that's the people that we have to look up to where when we're feeling like we're not going to make it or we can't do this or this is too big, you know, it's like, yeah, you can.
just get your butt up and do it. Oh, yeah.
And I think that's what people need to understand. That's like how I was so happy and thrilled that you accepted my invitation, because I feel that people just need to understand that you can do it. And after your story and seeing how successful you have become, and, you know, with my drive that I already currently have, it just, your story makes it even worse, because there are no excuses. Why not? What's the problem? I don't understand the problem.
I think it takes a lot of prayer and a lot of diligence. And I think, you know, like I said, single moms, it's easy to get discouraged because
I'm sorry? Uh-oh. I may have lost Stephanie there. Stephanie's still with us. Well, let's see. I'm not sure what happened to my friend. The sound is not working currently, apparently. But you guys, I'm just going to go ahead and just do a close on Barbara Jordan. I want to say thank you to Barbara Jordan and your politicians and you as an activist and as an African American person in our community who has done and made major changes and things for us. So I want to say thank you. And here on Love Dance Between You, we spotlight you this evening. Best friend Stephanie, I'm not sure where she went off to. I'm not sure she hit the button or not. But I do want to thank you so much for coming out, you guys. I hope you have taken maybe something that she said this evening and been able to apply it to your life or to your journey and to your path. Because, again, she touched on this evening, she did make mistakes. She did make bad judgments. But the entire time she had a goal, which was that she was to achieve it, to be successful in becoming a lawyer, and she has since done so. So that's why I tip my hat off to her, because we all do fall and trip over things in life. But you have to get up, dust yourself off, and keep it pushing, because as she made it blatantly clear, she had a family, she had a support, she had to move forward, because the kids happen to have a habit of wanting to eat. So I thank you again, Stephanie. I'm not sure we'll have to have you come back on again to do a proper goodbye. But until next time, you guys are going to move on and say, that's all I have to say about that. Okay. So, with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and just do a proper closing really quickly, you guys. I want to thank Stephanie so much for coming on to the show. She is just a best friend of mine, and I think her story is awesome, as I mentioned. I also want to say thank you again to Barbara Jordan for all she did for our community. I also want to take this moment, you guys, I haven't said this before, but I just think it's definitely well overdue, is to say thank you to the EOTM family who work hella hard each week to make me look good, to make the press releases look good, to make sure we are here for you guys. It's just really, really a great team of people who help to make the show and the media company what it is. And I just want to say thank you to the entire EOTM media family. You all know who you are. Also, you guys, there's always an email bag. So definitely hit me up, and to the person last week who also asked about getting into media and broadcasting, the internship that I mentioned would be a perfect opportunity for you to come into that, so definitely hit me up, tangelaeotnmedia.com. If you're looking for questions, any insight or information on something, you can definitely hit me up. Also, dancers, music artists, entrepreneurs on the move, hit me up. Again, interns, hit me up. be sure to lock the radio station in. And then lastly, I want to leave you with this. Tonight I'm going to actually close with Barbara. I'm going to have Barbara Jordan actually close the show tonight. Today I'm going to go ahead and let Barbara Jordan close the show, as I mentioned. She has this great speech she did in 1976 at the Democratic National Convention, and it was a keynote address, okay? So this is the words that she had to leave with you. Before I go, I'll just close out with saying, I'm your boy, T'Angelo, and don't forget to always dance as though no one is watching. Just live.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for a very warm reception. It was 144 years ago that members of the Democratic Party first met in convention to select a presidential candidate. Since that time, Democrats have continued to convene once every 4 years and draft a party platform and nominate a presidential candidate. And our meeting this week is a continuation of that tradition. But there is something different about tonight. There is something special about tonight. What is different? What is special? I, Barbara Jordan, am a keynote speaker. A lot of years passed since 1832, and during that time, it would have been most unusual for any national political party to ask a Barbara Jordan to deliver a keynote address. But tonight, here I am. And I feel that notwithstanding the past, that my presence here is one additional bit of evidence that the American dream need not forever be deferred. Now that I have this grand distinction, what in the world am I supposed to say? I could easily spend this time praising the accomplishments of this party and attacking the Republicans, but I don't choose to do that. I could list the many problems which Americans have. I could list the problems which cause people to feel cynical, angry, frustrated. Problems which include lack of integrity in government, the feeling that the individual no longer counts, the reality of material and spiritual poverty, the feeling that the grand American experiment is failing or has failed. I could recite these problems, and then I could sit down and offer no solutions. But I don't choose to do that either. The citizens of America expect more. They deserve and they want more than a recital of problems. We are a people in a quandary about the present. We are a people in search of our future. We are a people in search of a national community. We are a people trying not only to solve the problems of the present, unemployment, inflation, but we are attempting on a larger scale to fulfill the promise of America. We are attempting to fulfill our national purpose to create and sustain a society in which all of us are equal. Throughout our history, when people have looked for new ways to solve their problems and to uphold the principles of this nation, many times they have turned to political parties. They have often turned to the Democratic Party. What is it? What is it about the Democratic Party that makes it the instrument the people use when they search for ways to shape their future? Well, I believe the answer to that question lies in our concept of governing. Our concept of governing is derived from our view of people. It is a concept deeply rooted in a set of beliefs firmly etched in the national conscience of all of us. Now, what are these beliefs? First, we believe in equality for all and privileges for none. This is a belief that each American, regardless of background, has equal standing in the public forum, all of us. Because we believe this idea so firmly, we are an inclusive rather than an exclusive party. Let everybody come. I think it no accident that most of those immigrating to America in the 19th century identified with the Democratic Party. We are a heterogeneous party made up of Americans of diverse backgrounds. We believe that the people are the source of all governmental power, that the authority of the people is to be extended, not restricted. This can be accomplished only by providing each citizen with every opportunity to participate in the management of the government. They must have that. We believe that the government, which represents the authority of all the people, not just one interest group, but all the people, has an obligation to actively seek to remove those obstacles which would block individual achievement, obstacles emanating from race, sex, economic condition. The government must remove them, seek to remove them. We are a party of innovation. We do not reject our traditions, but we are willing to adapt to changing circumstances when change we must. We are willing to suffer the discomfort of change in order to achieve a better future. We have a positive vision of the future founded on the belief that the gap between the promise and reality of America can one day be finally closed. We believe that. This, my friends, is the bedrock of our concept of governing. This is a part of the reason why Americans have turned to the Democratic Party. These are the foundations upon which a national community can be built. Let all understand that these guiding principles cannot be discarded for short-term political gains. They represent what this country is all about. They are indigenous to the American idea, and these are principles which are not negotiable. In other times, I could stand here and give this kind of exposition on the beliefs of the Democratic Party, and that would be enough. But today, that is not enough. People want more. That is not sufficient reason for the majority of the people of this country to decide to vote Democratic. We have made mistakes. We realize that. We admit our mistakes. In our haste to do all things for all people, we did not foresee the full consequences of our actions. And when the people raised their voices, we didn't hear. But our deafness was only a temporary condition and not an irreversible condition.